Father, not to do. God of rapture, God of resurrection, you're the God who says, in a twinkling of an eye, we will be changed. We will be transformed. We will be caught up tonight. Cry out to you that you, the God of the twinkling of an eye, Lord, will so change us, so transform us, so elevate us, so change us, that in one quick moment we are transformed. We give you praise that it is so. What has been on your mind is manifested now. Blessed be your holy name forever. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Bless you all in the name of the Lord. I was coming in and I've just sitting up front for a moment, and I thought, wow, this morning Deacon Paul woke up, came to church, and in a twinkling of an eye he was changed from Deacon Paul to Pastor Paul in just a moment. But that was what was on God's heart for him for years. What happened this morning, for well over 10 years, well over 10 years, the Lord has been saying it, but it wasn't time. What was in the heart of God. Orders had come, and but was still being carried by God until it was fullness. And there are orders that God has particular plans for, things that He wants to do in their lives, and it is still there. God is not in a rush. God is not in a rush. But when, as the Word of God says, at the fullness of time, He just does what He wants to do. And it's done. Completed. Well, done. So shall God do for every one of us. You wake up and it is that day, and in the twinkling of an eye, in fact, let me put it this way. If you hear the sound of the trumpet and you keep on hearing it, it's too late. Let me say that again. If you hear the sound of the trumpet, it's too late. As the trumpet, before it sounds in the split second, the sound of the trumpet, you should be gone. Amen. Because the twinkling of an eye is that fast. Just blink. It's done. Oh, I think I hear something you left behind. I think, no, you're too late. You're hearing too long. the faithfulness of God. I'm encouraged by that this evening, that God is a God who is faithful and will do with his sons and his daughters great and mighty things. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, this evening I just want to continue with the word that we were sharing this morning on this Father's Day. On this Father's Day. Just like I was saying earlier, at one moment you can be changed. One moment you are a husband, and the next moment, in the same day, you are a father. A few months ago, I was in the status of grandfather, and a twinkling of an eye, so to speak, blip, great grandfather. I looked at the mirror and said, who is great grandfather? What are you talking about? But so it was. Life changes on us. Just like that. And when it changes on us, we need to grow to match up with what that change is. One moment you were single and the man of God or judge or whoever is authorized, ask the question, will you take this man, will you take this woman? And you say, I do. And you say, on the basis of the authority that's been vested in me, on, you know, by God or by the state or whatever, I pronounce you husband and wife. Boom. Status changed. You're married. Everything in life is about that change. And at that moment when they say, I pronounce you husband and wife, you're no longer single and you can no longer act like you're a single guy or a single woman. You now have to take responsibility for your new position and act accordingly. No longer the way you used to act or the way you used to do. Now you move on the basis of that grace that's been bestowed upon you. Many years ago, I was in high school, and there was, in high school, we stayed in the boarding school and you had prefects, home prefects. And then you had the prefect that is over all the prefects. He was like, the prefect was the room manager, so to speak. And it was this guy. He was one class above me, and nice guy, very smart. He's made the head prefect. And I don't know what happened to this guy, but the guy changed on us. The guy, it's like he carried some kind of an aura, and he was no longer the guy that we all knew. Everybody was scared of this guy because he will, if you're a prefect and you do something wrong, you go in and you're going to cut grass. She understands what cutting grass means. You know, because we didn't have lawnmowers. You know, the students were the lawnmowers. You take a machete or whatever and you will cut the grass. And they will give you a segment like this. So all the grass from here to the door, that's your responsibility, you cut. And if you've got a bad senior, all he needs to do is just come and he'll just mark V. you think V is not this much. V means that as you are cutting, it's getting bigger and bigger. Well, this guy is the guy who will give you a V. The guy was so serious with his senior prefective position that he was disciplining. This is no kidding. He was disciplining the teachers. That's how much the guy changed. He changed on us. You're a teacher, and you think you can just mess around there? Oh, no, not on. Excuse me, guy. How on earth are you putting discipline on the teachers? You're a student. But he took on his position so much. I don't know how one person could change that much. How I did not get under his skin, I don't know, because he was in my same dorm. 5 a.m., when the bell rings and you are supposed to be up, you better be up, because if you are not up, discipline. Your clothes are not properly ironed, discipline. It's time to go eat, and you are not in the lunchroom or dining room. Discipline. We'd never seen anything like it. After he took out the first 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, everybody learned their lessons. The whole school was marching in order. That was it. You don't want to get into that mess. Hey! Just a mention of his name, and you pee your pants. Wow. And you say, what on earth does this have to do with fathers? That's not what it's supposed to be with fathers. When you become a father, God didn't call you to be a terrorist. Terrorizing the children. Terrorizing the wife, terrorizing the neighborhood. No, that's not what being fathers of being in leadership is about. Yes, it's about change and leading and recognizing, yes, there's a point where your children become your friends, but if you start your fathering with my kids and my friends, you're going to lose them. You've got to implant into the child the awareness that you are Father, that you are Mother, you are the parent, and they are the children, and it is your responsibility to raise them in a way that will foster their future and cause them to experience true progress in life. And when I say true progress in life, I'm not talking about what the world today calls progressiveness. Because their progressiveness in the world is a liberal spirit that leads people into damnation. Everything is acceptable. That's not what progress in God is. Progress in God is helping people grow and become more fervent in what is true. And it's our responsibility to raise sons and daughters who know differences, because ultimately the understanding of differences is what wisdom is. Being able to differentiate. We live in a world where people are no longer differentiating anymore. They don't know what male is, what female is. Oh, I'm the parent. Your child is messed up or confused in their mind, and you want to go surgically, whether it's physical surgery or chemical surgery or whatever, damage them, and then they grow up and then find out, hey, I'm supposed to be a man just the way I was born. But now you've castrated them. Now they are messed up. Now they are suicidal. Now they are all of that. That is not parenting. Parenting means that you come alongside of that child and say, I see you struggling. I don't understand why you're struggling this way. But I stand with you here and support you in being steadfast in what you should be, but you're struggling with right now. I'll say it this way. I think really, governments, doctors, school divisions, when these kids grow up, that they are so-called calling transgender and they're trying to make them be something else because there's a mess up. When they grow up, they should sue those governments. And when a lot of people start suing the government that made them, agreed with them, did not help them stand, they will stop the nonsense. Government. Must not supersede the role of the father and the mother in the life of a child. It's not their responsibility. Before there was government, there was a family. And I know that what I'm saying right now will upset many, but I could care less about that. Because the truth is still the truth. Same government that says, oh, you must believe in the science. The science says, X and X, X and Y. That's what determines what a male and a female is. If we check that child, What are we going to find? X, 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 Y? Or just X, X and X, Y? I've not heard anybody say, okay, you think that you're female. Okay, let's check your DNA and the chromosomes and check and see what the science says. Oh, I feel. Well, we cannot feel all kinds of craziness. I feel like I should kill this person. That's why I killed the person. How dare you challenge me that my feeling that I should kill is wrong? It's my feeling. I feel. I don't know whether it's 10 years ago or something like that. I was at a Toronto church and I came and was standing and I said, guys, I'm white. And they're looking at me. I said, I'm serious. I'm white. How did anybody tell me that I'm not white? And I began to expand on what was coming. That we are going to deal with this issue down the line. People are going to be claiming to be whatever it is. There are people walking our streets today that say, I am monkey. Huh? You're going to argue with a person? The person says, those people used to belong in a robber room somewhere. You treat them. Well, I'm monkey. I'm a leopard. I'm a cat person. As fathers, we are called to help our children not lose their mind. Come alongside of them. I don't know what is going on, what is wrong, how you've come to this place, but I am trusting that God will help us bring you through this situation. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God is with me. You're a father. Your responsibility is to come alongside your child and help them wade through that storm, because that storm is going to end. Now, the reason we have all of this confusion in our world is because of our sinful immorality. The immorality, sinfulness, fornication, and adultery. It's the root cause of all this confusion that's happening in the minds of people, young children. And you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I've said this before, and I'll say it again. When a male called John mates with a woman called Mary, premaritally, John and Mary join together and become one. The two become one. By the sexual act, they become one. But John and Mary go and they mate with other John and Mary. Or let's change the names here, Patrick and Patricia. When Mary here mates with Patrick over here, and John over here mates with Patricia over here, John takes part of Mary with him by soul tie. So when John is mating with Patricia here, John is not just mating with Patricia, Mary is mating with Patricia also. Are you with me? So now, it's not just a male and female meeting now, it's a male and a female in John, mating with Patricia here, a male and female here called Mary and John, mating with Patrick over here. Let's go to the next level. And now you have Mary. You have Mary and Patrick mating with a guy called Mark. Now there's three of them. He thinks he's mating with Mary, but no, he's mating with Mary, John, and Patrick. Patricia, that's right. Confusion. So, why wouldn't there be confusion? When there you are becoming one, as you're going, you're becoming one and one and one, and all of a sudden you're so confused, you are into being a lesbian, being gay, being bisexual, and of course, you are now transitioning because you don't know which is which anymore. There are too many X and XY bouncing all over the place. Now you don't know which one it is. Am I X? Am I XY? You don't know. Because we fail to understand that it is spiritual. And the God who created us told us already in his word, don't do this. Stay with one woman. Stay with one man. Don't get involved premaritally, because you don't know whether that person is a person you're going to end up with for life. You might decide, and then you're going to bring confusion into society. That is what our problem is. That's the spiritual aspect of it. There is a scientific aspect to it also. Because I remember when the issue of AIDS came up, they also made that decision. You are not just mating with the person that you're mating with, you are mating with everybody that that person mated with, and therefore, abstinence. They taught us that. That was the science. Well, God in his science says the same thing. That's why as fathers, it's our responsibility to raise up our children and say to them, I know that your hormones are jumping crazy and you think you cannot live without this person or that person or whatever, but hold it, hold your horses, because there's more to this than just your emotions, your hormones. You need to take a hold of yourself. So the word of God says, you know, God doesn't use the word flee that often. But it's very clear, it says flee fornication. Run! God, you're just trying to cramp my style. No, I'm not trying to cramp your style. I'm trying to save you and save society, Because God can see the day that we are living in now. And as parents, all we can do is establish the truth. We cannot make our children do anything. They're going to do whatever it is they want to do, just like you are going to do whatever it is that you do. But the language, the word for which our children must run with, must be present with them. That's right. And a wise son or wise daughter will say, my dad doesn't want me to do things like this. Hey, chicken. Yeah, it's all right. Just the other day, a young man just graduated from high school, went out with his friends. Got into a cruise ship, and another kid dead him in the high sea to jump over. And guess what he did? He jumped over. The fault is not the fault of the child, the other person that told him, dead him, to jump over. The fault is how he was raised to not have confidence in himself, to know, to say no. Call me chicken, call me whatever. I will live another day. I just graduated from high school. I have a future ahead of me. I'm not jumping over. What went wrong that he did not know to say no? What happened? Why are children engaged in drugs and alcohol when they should be able to say no? I'm not saying that the fault is always from the home. Ultimately, the fault is the fault of that particular child that is being taught but refused to accept whatever it is that they were being taught that will be helpful to them. Because you can have two children from the same parents, and one does the right thing and another does the wrong. Abel and Cain were from the same parents, but Abel did the right thing and Cain chose to do the wrong thing. There is Father God saying, if you choose the right thing, Cain, no problem. You can choose to do the right thing. Like your brother is doing. But what does Cain do? Kills his brother. As if killing his brother was going to make whatever it is that he's doing right now, because he's the only one doing it. There's no competition. Let's get rid of the competition. Let's get rid of the voice. But the thing is that the voice of Abel still cries out. You cannot shut the voice of right. These are part of the lessons that we must communicate. Fathers need to play their role. Children need to play their role. We all ultimately are children of God. And the mandate that we carry is the mandate of the Creator, our Heavenly Father. To communicate what our Heavenly Father is communicating, what He knows to be the right thing to do. And that's all we're called to do. So I read to us this morning from Proverbs 14 and 26. Proverbs 14 and verse 26. It says, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. That's what we must build into our children, a confidence, the I can capacity. Confidence is another form of stubbornness. But it's been stubborn in the righteous way. Confidence. It's that ability to know that you know that you know that you know that you know who you are and who your God is. If God be for me, who can be against me? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that's mouthing off? You are a blasphemer, and my word, the word of God, says that every blasphemer must be stoned. And so David did not go with a sword. He didn't go with a nuclear bomb. He just went with five smooth stones called F-A-I-T-H. Faith. This little kid that had been anointed, small kid. I'm anointed. You, Goliath, you're going under today. Confidence. Where did he get his confidence from? It was not from the father, his earthly father, that put him on the side of the line and didn't call him up when they were asking for everybody to come up. Forget that one. Say nobody. His confidence was in knowing that the God who anointed him, chose him, even when everybody else said no to him, that the God whose hand was upon his life and had given to him confidence, the confidence that was able to take out the lion and take out the bear, that same God was God in his life. That same God who sent a man of God, one who hears God, to anoint him with oil, that same God was with him. And you, Goliath, I don't care how big you are. In fact, the very fact that you're as big as you are means I shall not miss. But Goliath is all covered. And Goliath is saying, I'm going to feed you. To the birds of the air. And David is running towards him and says, you coming at me with the arm of flesh, and not only am I going to get rid of you, but all the Philistines that came with you. Confidence! I'm going to take you out and everybody that came with you. Because I am on the right side of this thing. I am on the same side as God is. And because God is with me, you are finished. Now, what a mouth. That was better than Muhammad Ali's mouth. I'm not just going to sting you and dance around you. You're done. You're finished. You're done. And he's coming. Bam! Goliath didn't see what was hitting him. All he knows is he's going down. Pow! And here comes David, takes Goliath's sword and cut off Goliath's head with Goliath's sword. He cut Goliath's head off with his own words. The grace of God is upon our lives. And God says to us, have no fear. I have not given you the spirit of fear. My prayer today is that every one of us and our children and our children's children be infused with so much confidence. I come from a country that is not short of confidence. You say of Nigerians, when they come around, they come to take over. Huh? Anywhere. Guess why? Confidence. Confidence is built into a Nigerian kid. No matter how ugly that child is, the child thinks, I'm the most beautiful child. I am beautiful. He will shake everything. He will shake everything and make you know and pay attention. I am in charge here. Ah. Confidence. Our confidence is in the Lord. I think about it. I've pondered it for a long, long time. You know, Nigerian kids, they go to school. They don't have the amazing labs that you have over here. They don't. They may not even have as many amazing books like you have here. They don't. The professors are striking all the time. They go to school, if they complete 6 months in a year, oh, that's a good year. How does that kid come out of that kind of a situation and come out to the West and become top of his class, become a top surgeon, a top engineer? Because of confidence. It's built into him. You can make it. 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 And anybody who has that confidence will always make it. The Jews, confidence. The Asian, confidence. And here we are. We are telling our kids that they're not good enough. They're not good enough. It's too hard. You know, everybody passes. Everybody passes. You know, you're way in the caboose in the class. People have finished the race 20 minutes ago. And you finally drag yourself, your tired self, through. It says, everybody got the gold. In what market? In what world? Everybody? We're stripping our sons and our daughters of their confidence, their ability to know that I can, I am capable. Stripping our children of it. It's the role of the father and the mother to infuse that child with confidence. Let those that want to teach them that they are just okay do that, whatever it is. But when we get home, we will instill confidence. You are head and not tail, above only and not beneath. You are called to win. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. If they accept it, they grow. Oh, my friends are busy playing and doing whatever else. Yeah, they may be. But you are going to be the best. I have an uncle. Growing up, I used to be at the tail, the caboose of the class. 21 or 22 of us in class, and I'll come second to last. Every year. And then we had the Civil War. And my dad moved on to a different city, and I was in the city attending this private school, and I had to stay with another uncle, with this other uncle. And this uncle of mine decided that I am not going to be in the end, second to the last. But this is how he built confidence in me. He beat it into me. While he was busy calling me dummy, he was smacking me left, right, and center. This guy beat me up until I saw visions. And one day I saw a vision. And in this vision, in this dream, I saw a blackboard. They don't have blackboards anymore. They have green boards nowadays, or whiteboards. And I saw on that board the number 2. I woke up excited. I said to my uncle, I am going to be second this year. The guy smacked me. Pow, pow. You, second. From where? In which world? You are at the end of the class. But why are you teaching me if you think I'm supposed to be at the end of the class? It smacked me. Exam time came. True enough, I moved from the back of the class, second to the last, to second to the top. The only person that beat me was the principal's son, who was also the owner of that school called Victory. I moved from the back to the front. Then I saw another dream. Again. Two. I told him. He said, because you took second the last time, you are not. But there was confidence. My confidence didn't come from him. He was busy calling me dummy and whatever else. My confidence came from the Lord who had shown me my position. I remember he gave me a mathematical question or arithmetic, they call it. And I got the answer right. But my zero had a little tail to it. And this uncle said that zero was a six. I said, it is a zero. He said, it's a six. Pow! I said, but it is a zero. If you talk again, guess what he did to me? He said I was a dummy. I said, no, I'm not a dummy. God, I didn't know his name well enough, but I saw it on that blackboard in my dream. He said it was a six and not a zero. And I learned to write better. God causes all things to work together for good. Yeah. God causes all things to work together for good. My challenge to every one of us is to choose to believe what God says. When you have the fear of the Lord, you build confidence. But that confidence becomes the refuge of your children. What you believe, what you accept, will affect the next generation. And it behooves us as God's people to go against the grain, the systems of the world that are proclaiming and postulating and projecting other thoughts, other beliefs, other whatever. No, no, no. And it starts with us that have the confidence in God to say, yes, the world may seem to be going down the wrong path, but we have a path. It is called the way. It is called the truth. It is called the life. No one is going to experience the goodness of God outside of him. And I and my household, we will serve the Lord. They may not be serving God right now as they should, but you never give and surrender your children to the enemy and say, well, I guess you have them, take them. No. If you raise a child in the way that they ought to go, they will not depart from it. No matter how it seems in the natural that they may have departed, no, they are going to come back to what they know to be true, because it is the seed of God inside of them. Just keep on watering that seed with love. Love. not accepting where their minds may be twisted to, but by the Spirit of grace, uprooting and declaring uprooted and removed everything that does not belong in their life, and saying, God, this is a child that you've given to me, my child, for your word says, I will save you and your entire household. My child is not going to be lost. My family is not going to be lost. You did not give me this child so that this child will end up lost for eternity. No, no, no. You did not give up on me. I'm not giving up on my child. God, save me and my entire household. Amen? Praise God. Because they have battles that they are facing. There are battles that our young ones are facing that we never faced. I went to high school and we had Bible knowledge. They don't have that. What they have today is the wickedness in the world. They have school divisions, teachers, government, that's putting in the face of our young ones, even as young as 4, 5 years old, reading them pornography. That's what we've got. That's what is happening. That is what is happening in the world today. Wanting the wrong books in our libraries. Many years ago I said, and I said it recently again, the time is coming, and it's not long from now, when the Bible that you're carrying is going to be declared a hate book. Do you know that the same people who are pushing pornography literature are saying, take the Bible out of our libraries, take it out of the reading, because it is a bad book. It teaches immorality. Why? Oh, David messed with somebody, that's why. Take it out. But they want to bring their filth. The craziness. It didn't just happen. It happened in some home. Some progressive, so-called progressive father, mother, whatever, parent. We are in the world. Let's trust God for our children. Because everything is so messed up. I don't want to start talking to you about how messed up things are. But it is a mess up. But our confidence, because we fear the Lord, is in our God. And our children shall find refuge. Because the refuge is not out there in the world. And we are responsible to make certain that our children find that refuge, that our children are able to come back and talk to us about how they feel, what is going on in their world, and that we have a hearing ear to listen to them. before you become so judgmental, listen. Because the tools they have to fight with, if it is not the word of God, they really have nothing. It's like trying to cut down a tree with a blunt axe. All you end up with after a while is all blisters. And you look at the tree, and the tree is winning with all of your effort. What you need is a sharp axe. And we need to work with our children and sharpen the edges of their axe. When they come home, having faced the challenges and the abuse from so-called leaders and authority figures and their peers, we sharpen their axe while they are resting, while they are sleeping. So we pray for them. Say, God, grant to my child wisdom, understanding, knowledge. Give them a voice that the challenges that they face tomorrow, that they will be able to cut down those challenges to size and come home safe and strong, capable, not defeated by the snare of the enemy. And I wrap up with this verse, verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life. To depart from the snares of death. The fear of the Lord. The word of God says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The one lesson that we must learn is to appreciate the fear of the Lord. It becomes the fountain of life. It causes you to depart from the snares of death. The two shall not meet. Let us, let our children choose life. The world might say, you are extreme in your thinking and in your thought. But the world is what is extreme. Don't tell me it's not extreme. In a world where a guy says it's a woman and says, I am going to compete with women, and the government says, it is fine. It is okay. What? We don't believe in the science anymore? That's extreme. Don't call me extreme when I say a man is a man and a woman is a woman. That is the truth. Don't buy into the labels that the world wants to put you in. Let it be the grace of God, the power of God, the fear of God that gives you life so that you are separated from the snares of death. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you for your authority. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to just embrace the truth of your word. Say yes to your purposes. We make the right choices. Yes. Our choices sometimes attract persecution. But what else is new? Our confidence is this. That just like Stephen spoke and confounded those that persecuted him, that there'll be a level of supernatural wisdom that's founded in the integrity of your word when you said, they're going to drag you into all kinds of situations, but don't be afraid and don't concern yourself on what you're going to say. Just open your mouth and I'll fill it. Lord, oh God, that you'll fill our mouths with your wisdom, that the enemy be exposed, because your truth forever lives in us. Help us to be salt in our society, to be a voice that stands for what is real and true and for that which is wise and reasonable. Save us. Save our families. Save our world as we proclaim your name in it. In Jesus, our sovereign Lord's name, we call it so done. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, thank God for you and thank God for your presence here today. Celebrate God's goodness together. Let us now honor God with our tithe, with our offerings, with our vows, with our gifts of love. Thank those that put a nice card in my hand today and it was an empty. The Lord bless you all for seeding your love into my life. Thank you. And happy Father's Day to all fathers and to all parents. Your work is easy in God. And put it that way. It is easy in God. And we and our children will testify of the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Come, honor the Lord. And I look forward to seeing you on Wednesday for our study in the book of Proverbs. The last Wednesday of this month is going to be our last Bible study for the summer months. But prayer nights on Friday will continue right through. We don't stop the prayer time. The Bible says pray without ceasing. And we stay steadfastly in praying, proclaiming the goodness of the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful day and enjoy the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Good night.